Hi, I'm Barry, and my hometown story, my little town story, is really a tale of two cities. It was indeed the best of times and the worst of times. I was growing up in Brooklyn, New York, with my dad and my younger sister and my older brother. My mother had passed away. She died when I was 3 years old, and my sister was 2, and my brother was 6. So that's kind of a script that I got used to, but as you go through life and you live your life, it takes on more meaning, especially when you become a parent and go through, as Amy said, life's happenings. It's a continual process of realizing how significant it is to grow up without a mother, and to grow up with a father who is sad and bitter and angry and confused can be chaotic, and it can also be hilarious if you develop a sense of humor to see that. So growing up in Brooklyn, we lived in the Midwood section of Brooklyn, which is a very Jewish section of Brooklyn, like besides Crown Heights, which is all the Hasidic. It's probably the next most Jewish section of Brooklyn. There's a yeshiva on every corner, and I went to the one across the street. I lived on East 29th Street and King's Highway, and you'd cross King's Highway, there was my yeshiva. And you would think maybe I went there because my dad was very religious, but in fact, he was an atheist. And that was really confirmed when my mother died and left him with 3 children under the age of 6. He was really angry at God and knew that there was no God. So it was odd to be in a dress every day going to yeshiva school with lots of conservative Jewish children whose families were more pious than mine. But I think it was convenient because it was across the street. So in the summer, when I was 8, I went to sleepaway camp for the first time in the Catskills, Parksville, New York, Camp Olympus, and it was fantastic because when you grow up with a lot of chaos, any organized activity is really a wonderful, treasured alternative to your life, your chaotic, unusual, atypical life. So I was going to camp in the Catskills with my brother and sister at Camp Olympus, and this was a uniform camp. If you know anything about camps, there's uniform camps and there's non-uniform camps, and the non-uniform camps are where like the girls compete with their cute outfits and whatnot, and some parents choose to send their kids to these non-uniform camps so that everyone's the same. My father didn't put that kind of thought into things. We went to this camp because the woman he was dating at the time, Ginny Sherman from Long Island, was sending her children there, and she thought it'd be good to have my dad free for the summer. So, yeah, so we went to uniform camp too with her kids, Ricky and Steffi, and I loved it. It was really fun, color war and all the different things. And you know, when you're growing up like without a mother and also with a father who is not saying, yay, you, but more like, yay, her, to, you know, lots of women that are going by, it's fun to be somewhere where people are like, yay, you, the counselors, you know, and you get a star and you get a stuffed animal and you get like little fun things. So it was exciting and I really enjoyed camp. And my second summer at camp, when my dad came to pick us up, something had changed. He was, I don't know, 40 pounds lighter. He was not smiling. And we got in the car and he said, you guys, we're not gonna go back to Brooklyn. We're moving to Fairfield, Connecticut. And I thought this was odd because we wrote letters back and forth like you do in camp, and he never mentioned that there might be a move or any kind of big life change happening. And so that was kind of peculiar, and we had an aunt and uncle that lived in Fairfield, my dad's brother and his wife, and my cousins had grown up here, but they were long out of college. They're much older than me. And so my aunt and uncle lived now empty nesters in Fairfield on Woodridge Avenue, and my dad said, we're going to move into Aunt Minnie and Uncle Harry's house. And I thought this a little odd, but you know, I was 10, so your reasoning skills are that of a 10-year-old. I said, okay, so I was not devastated because I know Fairfield, and it was that cute place we would go and go to Lake Mohegan and feed the ducks, and we had pictures of us apple picking and pumpkin picking, and it was like that cute little Norman Rockwellian place that we would leave Brooklyn and go to for the weekends and have all this country time and the green grass. And my aunt actually noticed when you entered a room, and she'd cook like a meal for you, and she'd say to you, did you eat anything today? That's a spring coat. It's January, things like that, that I didn't really get in my life growing up with my father. So there was something nice about like being noticed. And so I was kind of excited, but I did say to my dad, well, what about all our stuff? I guess we're going to go back to Brooklyn and get our stuff. And he said, oh, no, I packed a suitcase for each of you. It has some of your clothes. And then you have the clothes from camp, which was, you know, 5 pairs of red shorts and 5 T-shirts that said Camp Olympus, you know. And I mean, September might have Indian summer, but it's going to get cold. So that was weird. And I was kind of bummed out because I had this favorite doll princess that was, she had like a pink crinoline. I picked her out at FAO Schwartz. She was my one fancy toy that I got in my life. We went to FAO Schwartz with my dad's girlfriend, a different one, Helen. And yeah, and so her kids liked to go there. So we went there and I got this princess doll and I loved her and I called her princess. And my dad said we weren't going back, so I wasn't going to see Princess again. And I did have a Highlights for Children collection since I was 5, because I was a big reader, and I was a student, and I loved to read. And I was really kind of sad that I wasn't going to see that again. And all my clothes and all our toys, and my brother had a huge collection of Army soldiers and Navy, like, you know, 400 pieces of Army-Navy soldiers that he loved, and his acoustic guitar, and we weren't going to see any of that again. And that was kind of a bummer, but, you know, my dad has a miraculous ability to not be attached to anything. And so he couldn't understand why we would be attached to anything. I mean, because, you know, us having separate feelings from his feelings was not really a concept my dad grasped. He's 83. He still doesn't really grasp that concept that anyone would feel differently about anything than he does, but that's another story. Okay, so reeling it back in. So we drive to Fairfield, to my aunt and uncle's house. And on the way, my dad told us, it's going to be great. Eric, you're going to go to Jennings Junior High School and start the 8th grade there. And Barry and Dina, you're going to go to Fairfield Woods Elementary School. And this sounded so cool to me because, like, Fairfield Woods, it sounded very sort of poetic and over the hill through the woods, you know, and country. And I was not going to be in Midwood in Brooklyn. And I thought, like, oh, that sounds nice. It had, like, this nice ring to it. And I guess it was a weekend when we got there, because by the time we started school a few days later, my aunt had corrected him. No, actually, the elementary school is called Jennings, where I met Amy and my other friend Linda, who are here tonight, which I love that I met them that year, and here they are. The junior high is actually called Fairfield Woods, and I remember really feeling disappointed about that. Like, the two things that disappointed me was that I left all my stuff in Brooklyn and that I was going to Jennings, because I liked the name of Fairfield Woods. And I'd sort of gotten attached to it in the 3 days, you know, because I guess I was looking for something to attach to. So that was a bummer. But anyway, started school at Jennings School, 5th grade, and it was great. And I made friends and, you know, as children do, assimilated and got adjusted to the whole new situation. It was cool that I could walk to school because in Brooklyn, somebody had to walk us to school because you're walking across King's Highway where people got hit by cars and I saw someone's brain splattered as a kid. You know, so you didn't like send your kids to cross King's Highway by themselves. But here I could walk to school by myself. Ooh, okay. So anyway, my aunts got a little tired of us after 5 months, and it was time for us to get our own place. So we moved to the other side of Fairfield and Henderson Road. And now we were districted for the Mill Hill School. But we finished out the year at Jennings, and then the next year started Mill Hill School. So there's a lot of transitions, a lot of assimilating, going on. And when I was in the 6th grade on this street that was now our street, our own house, we got a lot of flyers that said, like, we're having a block party, streetwide tag sale. And I thought these things were so cute because this did not happen in Midwood. And then it was the holiday time and we got a flyer that said, we're organizing Henderson Road Christmas caroling. And I thought this would be so adorable, you know, because I'd never seen anything Christmas in real life. I'd only seen it on TV, like Fonzie's little Christmas tree, that little, you know, sad Christmas tree. And all my Christmas experiences were like the Brady Bunch. It was nothing in real life. So I was excited. And I said to my dad, they're organizing Christmas caroling. Dad, I want to go. And he was like, there's absolutely no way any of my kids are going Christmas caroling, which seemed odd because he didn't believe in God and he wasn't religious. But there was just no way that was going to happen. So I thought, all right, so plan B, it'll be fun to answer the door and see my friends from school who are Christmas caroling. And I had these visions of, like, getting eggnog and apple cider and or hot chocolate and serving it to them. Like, I didn't know what goes on. I thought, like, you bake cookies and I'm going to see my friends there with their scarves, you know, singing and all jolly and happy with their perfect cute families. And so the night came and that they were Christmas caroling, and I guess my sister and I and brother had sort of forgotten it was that night, and we didn't prepare any hot cocoa or cookies or anything like that. So the doorbell rings, and we hear them actually sort of coming down the street. We hear like, "Oh, come all ye faithful," and like all this, you know, it was really sweet and cool, and I was so excited to open the door, and my dad was like, "Oh my God, it's the Christmas carolers. You guys, run upstairs and hide." And I was like, this is so odd. It's such an odd reaction, you know, to something so sweet and happy. And we were like, "Dad, we want to answer the door. Run upstairs and hide." And I look at my brother and sister, and I said to my brother, "Am I Anne Frank? What's going on here?" So we went up the stairs, and my brother and I are sort of laughing because we sort of join in the forces of like the hilarity of my dad's insanity. And we're running up the stairs, and there's like a transom, and the lights are all on in the house, so everybody can see that we're running up the stairs. And then we hear them say, "There they are, they're going up the stairs." And we're sort of looking at my dad like, "This is ridiculous. We should really answer the door. No, no, no. Go hide in my room," which is odd because his room was at the front of the house as opposed to our rooms that would have been in the back. So now we're in his room, lights on, shades pulled, so you could see our shadows through the shades. And they were going through a repertoire of various songs. And then I heard someone say, "Maybe we should sing Frosty the Snowman because they're Jewish." So now we're offending them because they're not sure if they're offending us. And they're trying to find the right song, something non-religious. They went on to sing Rudolph. My brother and I are laughing. My dad is angry. He wants them to leave. Finally, it was about probably, I feel like it was a 30-minute holiday concert outside our house. And at some point, he did turn off the lights, so it was really obvious that we had been there, lights had been on, we had gone up the stairs, they saw our shadows, and now lights were off. It was peculiar. I did think, what's going to happen at school tomorrow? And anyway, eventually, they moved on. And I went to bed that night, and I realized, I think at that point, that I was going to be ice skating on the precipice of insanity and lunacy for the next 7 years until I graduated from high school. But there was something fun about the fact that I felt like I was looking in on this outside world, even if it was through a shade and in the dark, and I couldn't quite go out there. I was humming Frosty the Snowman to bed to myself that night, and I was smiling. Thank you.